This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat from the patio studios and brought to you by our good friends at the Innovated Companies. That's InnovatedCompanies.com, home of the construction team, heating and cooling team, electric team, and now the plumbing team. My man, Randy Green, 35 years experience, second generation craftsman, man of his word. Get him involved early. Save yourself time, energy, and money. That's InnovatedCompanies.com. Welcome to the show, folks. Good weekend, I think, all in all. Good homestand, good weekend of baseball. Would have liked the sweep, of course. Who wouldn't? For a day, we were in the playoffs, and now we're out. But, listen, we've done what we needed to do, in my opinion. We've gotten into a manageable situation with the rest of the season still yet to play out. I think we've shown that it can be done. And I like the way that I love the way that the team is just playing overall. I think they're firing on all cylinders. Obviously, you know, things aren't always perfect, but that's a game of baseball. It's got to be played. It isn't played on a spreadsheet. It isn't played in a score. It's played on the field by men. For the most part, these men, I think, have done a pretty good job. But I got something that's bothering me, and I got to get it off my chest. But before I do so, let me welcome in my cohorts in crime on the M4byYachty.com hotline. Let's welcome in Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
What's going on, guys? I'm ready to go. What you got?
Well, I got Steve Flowers sitting next to me. We got a full house. We got Steve-O.
I'm here. I had him have my breakfast of champions this morning, so hopefully nobody heard the crunching over the intro play. Right.
And Josh Potter, our man, our myth, our legend, is in studio as well.
I'm getting there, but are you tired? Present.
Present and accounted for? Tired.
Hey, present and accounted for.
Hey, listen, I'm not going to act like you shouldn't be tired. I mean, you're a student. Yeah. You work. You know, you do. Listen, I'm not acting like you shouldn't be tired. Speaking of tired, I mean, let me ask you a question, Josh.
What's up?
He needs a day off. You look tired. You didn't have a bounce in your step today. Do you need a day off?
No. I grind it out every day.
Do you need a day?
I think he needs a day. Okay.
Steve, you look, you know what? When you don't show up to the show, is it because you need a day off?
I'm a healthy scratch, yes.
Because you don't have a bounce in your step?
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to argue about this because I'm on a different opinion than
you. We are going to argue about it, so we're going to get it out of the way. All right, so let me ask you, here's the deal. What is one day off going to do? So here's my thing. Everybody thinks like you take a day off, and then you're rejuvenated and you're refreshed. So my question is this, and I'm going to ask the guy that played. Who had a day off. So when you take a day off, do you not play catch? Do you not stretch? Do you not run? Do you not take BP? Do you not do your normal workout routine? I mean, I don't understand what a day off is. Now, listen, if you told me you were going to give him 4 or 5 days off and you felt you could live with it, then I'd say go ahead, take a break. Because 4 or 5 days, now you're really doing something. Tony La Russa used to give those guys that needed days. He'd give them to them before the day off, and then they'd get at least a couple days, okay? So I'm going to ask the guy that played. At this juncture in the season, is one day going to make that much of a difference that a guy as important as Matt Carpenter or Yachty should take a day off?
I'm going to tell you, very simple. It's not a big deal. It's not a huge deal that we need to go beat up on it. But I'm going to tell you this. As a catcher, that one day could mean 5 days in your body. That one day, you show up to the field, you get treatment for your body like you're playing, you go out, hit some few swings, you stretch out, you stretch your arms, you throw, whatever. As a catcher, I'm talking as a catcher first. And then you are in the clubhouse, you relax, you hopefully we win the game, you don't have to do much. That day right there will feel like a five-day rest for a catcher, one day. In our minds, in our body, maybe not so much because our bodies are obviously still, we might not go back to 100% charge like a phone, but we might go back to an 85 to a 90% off because of one day, okay? This is a catcher. It's different. You're bending now for, you're squatting down for so many innings, right? So this is different. For a position player, not need a day off. You know what I'm saying? Because their jobs, that's why when they give you a day off on a position player, it's a mental day off. Because they normally, they don't need a day off. Normally, they're standing on first base. They're standing on the outfield. They're standing on second base or whatever you want to put them as a position player. So they're always standing up waiting for a play to happen. You know, they don't have a squatting is way different. And I'm not saying it for me. I'm saying it for the whole league and for the kiddos, you know, for the little leagues, whatever you want to put it. But the position players, you know, if you're going to give a day off, it has to be a mental day off. It has to be something that, okay, clear your mind and let's go. Or you battle through like Carp is doing. Carp is not hitting the ball bad. Carp is not, I mean, I don't see anything different from Carp. He's hitting, obviously, he's not hitting home runs. But I'm saying, like, he has good swings. He has great hard hit balls. It's just being caught. So what is the difference? Yadi, in another hand, is a little different because he's catching nine innings. He's squatting nine innings. Or Peña, whoever it would have been. He's catching nine innings. So, yeah, a day. And if you give him a day when they have a day off, that's 2 days. He will be way better. And from experience, that one day sometimes gets you going again because you're like, okay, now I got a little bit of rest. I don't go back to 100%, but guess what? I got a little rest, and I'm going to feel better, and I'm going to keep going. That's why it makes a difference on a catcher than it makes a difference on a position player. That's why guys can play 162 games out of the position players, but no catchers can do that because it's really, really beating yourself up. But the days off are not in the question here, guys. What's in the question is they want to play. They want to beat up on these guys. They want to beat up on Milwaukee. They want to. These are the division rivals, man. They want to win these games. And I'm sure Yadi probably say, hey, listen, give me a day off in L.A. If you want. But this is a division rival. I want to play these games. I bet you anything he did say that. So, I mean, a day off, we're making it so big. Oh, they need a day off. Yeah, everybody needs a day off in baseball because it refresh your mind when you're struggling.
Right, BMO, I'm glad you brought that up, that part of it, because that was the direction I was going, is when you can come to the ballpark, what a lot of these guys that never played the game don't realize is that when you're in to a game and they've been in some high intense situations where their mind hasn't been allowed to relax and they're into every pitch, every swing, they're doing so much, they're grinding it out. It's the mental part of it that when, you know, Schilt comes to him and says, hey, you're getting a day off tomorrow. Don't worry about coming in early and getting all the extra work. Just come in, get your treatment, go to the cage, do your swings, get some stretching in, maybe some light running in, but take a mental day off. That's what rejuvenates you. Yes, Jim, physically, one day is not going to matter. You're absolutely right. But mentally, it is a huge, huge escape from the game because it's such a grind.
And I'll agree with that. The problem is...
But it matters. It matters because it's going to charge you a little bit more. you know, but it's not going to get you back to 100%. That's what I'm trying to say. Unless you take 2, 3, 4 days, that's when you go back to 100%. But one day will get you back 5% or of your body or something like that, a little bit. Well, I mean, it helps. But it's not going to get you to 100%.
And, Benji, I think my point on the whole thing is this would listen, let me say this. If the Cardinals were in first place, then absolutely. The problem is they're chasing something here. That's the issue at hand. And you have to ask yourself, and I don't know the answer to this. Listen, I know what I think, but what the hell do I know? I say it all the time. Can you live without two of your best players for a game because you're banking on it making a difference? I don't know. I mean, every game right now counts. If you had a crystal ball and you said, well, we were going to lose yesterday anyway, then give them a day, great. I don't know. All I know is this. I know how I feel physically, and I know if I take a day off, and I'm not a well-conditioned professional athlete that works at that high level. Now, that's all I'm saying. If you want to give me multiple days, then great. But, and here's the other thing, too.
The catching part, Jimbo, is different. I mean, I'm not talking about Yadi in this case. I'm talking about anybody.
Sure.
Anybody. Catching is a different ball game because we need a day off. It's because you need to put your legs back together. And also, a productive catcher, somebody that produces like Yadi does or Real Muto or Contreras, the way they hit and run the bases, I mean, that's even worse. You have to give them a day off once in a while. Maybe, I'm not saying play 4 games and get a day off, but Yadi's going to 28 games, bro. I mean, I don't know how he does it. But then I talked to him yesterday, and he said, listen, if I feel good, I don't care. I'm going to play. And the reason is I feel good calling the game. You hear that? He feels good calling the game, so he doesn't want to get out of that rhythm. The problem is he obviously needs that day to recover at least a little bit more for the next day. But he wants to play. You have to be happy with guys that wants to be out there, man. I was with teammates that were happy to get a day off, and they had nothing. They had nothing. They weren't even sick. They had no soreness in their body, no nothing. They were outfielders, they were infielders, and they were so happy to freaking be in a day off. And you have guys that don't want to take a day off. Gosh, man, tip your hat to those guys. Come on, want to be out there for you guys.
Well, let me say this. I will say this. I think the Cardinal fans that want them to take a day off, they don't look at it that way. They think that. I would say that the Cardinal fans that I see, and I'm not even saying they're wrong. I'm just bringing this up for the sake of conversation because I just have a little bit of a different view. I'm not stupid. I understand playing versus not playing, the toll. But my point is, I think they're saying these guys are warriors, they're athletes, you know, they're competitive. Even though they need a day off, they won't ask for one. You know, the manager has to step in. The manager has to step in and make them take a day. Yeah, that's the manager's job, to step in and make them take a day because they won't take one. I can't for the life of me say.
It's easier said than done, though.
What's that?
It's easier said than done.
Sure. I mean, we all saw what happened last year when.
Manager giving them a day off even though they don't want it. Doesn't work that way. They talk it over. They have to talk it over. Right before a day off or something like that. I mean, you cannot just do it and say, "The hell with you! I'm the manager. You take a day off and get the heck out of here." It doesn't, you know, it's not like that. It's just they talk it over, they go to it, you know, they say their ideas and what they're thinking. And like I said, I bet you anything, Yadi said, "You know what? I'm not sitting with Milwaukee. You want to sit me with L.A. or Colorado, whatever you want. That's fine. One day, that's okay. But I'm not sitting with Milwaukee. I bet you anything he said that because I've done it before. But a day will take you, you know, a day will take you will take you up, but it's not going to recharge you 100%. Maybe a position player because they're not squatting all game. They're just standing there waiting for a ground ball, waiting for a fly ball, you know, running around. But But a catcher is different, man. You need that guy, especially a productive catcher.
Well, it just made me think back to, I don't know. Do you guys remember when La Russa would do that? If he gave a guy a day off, he'd give it to him the day before an off day. And fans would go, what's he doing? They already have an off day. Why is Pujols not playing? Why is Yadi not playing?
I was just about to say that because, you know, we have an off day on Thursday.
Yeah, it wouldn't
surprise
me.
Why not? Yeah, sit him that third game.
It wouldn't surprise me if that's the game he sits.
And then you got another off day on Monday. So,
you know, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know. Now, listen, on the flip side, would it surprise me? To your point, would it surprise me if Yadi didn't say, look, we got an off day coming Thursday, we got an off day coming Monday, I'll be fine. You know, I got some off days coming up.
Yep.
I mean, who knows? I don't know. All I know is, I mean, outside of giving multiple days off so that a guy can really get – and, again, let's just say this too. At this juncture of the game, lots of guys are playing with nicked up, bumps, bruises, and it ain't just the St. Louis Cardinals. So, you know, that's something to think about too.
Well, and to go along with chasing the division, you know, we're not blowing anybody away. You know, you mentioned, you know, we're chasing the division. That's why, you know, we can't really afford to take guys out like Molina and Carpenter. You know, we're also not blowing anybody away outside of Kansas City. Hell, even Miami, we lost one and then one run game the second game. You know what I mean? So it's not like we're blowing people out to where we can just take him out and put Yadi at first, give him a break behind the plate, stuff like that.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Go ahead, Benji. I know you wanted to say something.
No, I just wanted to mention that the mental part is different. You know, the physical, it's okay. These guys are trained to play 162 and more. Believe me, they are really trained. They train every day. They take every day at a time. So they'll train today. They'll go to the gym for a reason. They'll train today to play the game today. That's what they do. But what we were saying, like Steve-O was saying earlier, it's the mental part of the game that kills you. It's the mental part that gets you going, that you don't have it anymore because you're beat up mentally. That's when you need a day off, maybe. For me, that's what I would do. That's what I would get it, to let my mind clear up a little bit, at least for a few hours, and let's go back at it again, you know? That's what I'm thinking. The mental part is okay, but the physical, these guys are really prepared. Unless you're a catcher, the catcher needs a day off once in a while because your knees, your ankle starts getting sore, and you're like, holy crap! I don't care how much I work out, my ankles and my back, and I mean, it's getting sore, and the body's telling you, man, this is tough, man. Take a day, just regroup, and you might not go back to 100%, but at least you recharge some to keep going. So that's the whole point about a day off with the catchers.
Well, again, for me, they've got a job ahead of them. There's no doubt about it, right? I mean, they've got to chase down, they've got to chase down this wild card spot. They put themselves in a position to do so. Let's be frank, right? I mean, we've basically got, what do we have left? About 30 something games.
37.
37 games. Everybody's everybody's got the same thing going right now. We're basically right there, right? Philadelphia hasn't looked great. Milwaukee has not played well. You know, their pitching issues have really caught up with them. It's going to be a dogfight down to the end, and that's going to be the hard part of this whole deal. Taking one of your better players out of the lineup for a day. Now, is it a rob Peter to pay Paul? Like, hey, that's my whole point, I guess. Will one day make that much of a difference over the course of the next 37 games?
And what makes you think that because you take Yadi out or you take Carpenter, like they're saying, what makes you think we're going to lose those games? That's what I want people to know. Like, yeah, those are our best guys. Yeah, I get it. But that doesn't mean we're going to lose the game just because they're getting a day off. How many times have we won without Yadi or Carp in the lineup? Many times. That doesn't mean we're going to lose the damn game because one of these guys sit down. Do they give us a better chance when they're playing? Of course. But gosh, man, these are not the only guys that take days off in these freaking big leagues. So everybody takes day off. Not catchers, but everybody takes a day once in a while, and then they end up beating up on the other guys. It doesn't mean we're going to lose the game if we take Yadi out for one day, or Carp, or Martinez, or whoever it is, or Ozuna. Those guys.
I got to ask you then, Benji. So how do you go to Yadi right now and tell him he's going to have a day?
You either have two ways to do it. You sit down with him and you go through the whole schedule, you know, the next 3 days, next 4 days, and you go through him and you just tell him straight up. You say, hey, Yadi, I'm looking to give you a day. Which one you think you can take from these ones? Do you want it today? Then you can keep going. Do you want it tomorrow? Da-da-da. You talk it over and see what his point of view is. That's what you do. In baseball, you just don't do it unless you have another manager, and then the manager just put up the lineup and say, Yadi's not in it. That's a day off without talking to Yadi. In this case, Yadi, right? But it could be anybody.
Sure.
But in this case, Yadi. And if you go out there and just put the lineup up, hey, Yadi will see that, oh, okay, I'm not playing. But it's not good for the manager.
What do you do if you really, really feel strongly that a day would help him, but Yadi won't take one? Then what do you do?
No. In the end, you make your decision. In the end, you're the manager. But not without talking. Not without discussing it. Now, at the end, you say, hey, Yadi, I think this is the best for you. And if we take a day off here, you're going to be better. You're going to be better, and da-da-da, we believe you're going to be better. And I'm sure they went through it, man. I'm serious. I seen it when I was coaching here. I was the victim number one when I was coaching. I had to go talk to him, and Mike Matheny said, hey, man, go talk to your brother. He needs the day off. And I thought he was cool, right? I thought he was, okay, I'm going to ask him and see. And the first thing he said, bro, get the heck out of here. You're not the manager. He's the manager. He needs to come over here and talk to me, not you. I was like, oh, oops, my bad. All right. But I didn't know. I didn't know. I learned there that I didn't have to do that. But I didn't know. I thought it was okay. So Yadi told me to get the heck out and tell the manager to come over here and face me and ask me. And I'll tell him if I'm ready or not. And I went up to Matheny and I told him. But it happens. It happens because we're always talking. But if you do something without the talk, it's really hard. It's really hard. It creates friction in it. So I think it's better to go talk to him and say, hey, listen, I have a day off here in hand for you. You're just going to help me out decide the schedule. What do you want? Which one you want? Things like that. You know, it helps to talk.
Yeah, but are they looking, BMO, are they looking, my understanding, I think, that the fans look at is they're looking at, okay, Yadi's 0 for his last 16. Carp might be 3 for his last 30 or whatever it is. Is a manager basically making his decision based on the stats to give him a day off? You know, what they look like walking around the clubhouse? From a fan's perspective, I assume they're looking at going, man, Carp's, you know, he was tearing it up for a month and a half, three, you know, 2 months, and now he's in a little bit of a slump. Maybe I give him a rest. You know, that type of stuff. Where do they make that decision? Because, you know, obviously when Carp's tearing the cover off the ball, the last thing they want to do is go, man, you look tired, or, hey, I want to give you a day off, right?
Well, I think it's more that they look tired than offensive production. There's no way in the world the offensive – have you seen the game, Steve-O and guys? Have you seen the game, right?
Yeah.
Carp has been crushing the ball. He's been hitting deep fly balls to the wall. He's been hitting line drives to the shift. I mean, he's been getting on base walks. Yadi's been hitting the ball. I mean, all three games that I did, Yadi, all he did was, I mean, obviously he had that bad game where he struck out three times. I get that. But all the other games, he's been hitting the ball good. I mean, right at people. You don't see the production. Obviously, they're going to come out of it. They're professional hitters. They're good hitters. So obviously they're going to go through the bad stretch. But and the reason you might give him and look at him as a day off, you might see them dragging a little bit, their bodies, they're not doing the same way. They're not they don't have that hype anymore in their bodies. They look really tired. I mean, they might see that. But out of swings and not getting hits, I don't think you get a day off because you're not getting a hit. I think it's more mental days off or a little bit of a rest, you know, like a body rest. But I don't think it's because you're 0-for-20, you're going to get a day off.
Well, the one guy, I don't think anybody's going to argue how he looks. And my next question for you guys after the quick break here is Harrison Bader ready to join the ranks of the great Cardinal center fielders? Is he next? And, Steve, I'm glad you're here today because when Harrison Bader first got this thing going, you said, not enough.
Yeah.
I need a difference maker.
Absolutely.
So my question to you is, and think about it on the other side of the break, has he changed your view of whether or not he's a difference maker? Because my question to all our Cardinal listeners out there is, I mean, Willie McGee, Jim Edmonds, Kurt Flood, I mean, take it on back. We've had some great Cardinal center fielders here in St. Louis.
Take the break real quick.
Is Harrison Bader the next guy? Because how long have I said we are the St. Louis Cardinals and this is who we have in center field? How many times have I said that over the last few years?
Absolutely.
Okay. So now I say, you don't hear me say that now, right? So let's take a quick break. Hey, find us, twobirdsonabat.com. Listen to the show, subscribe to the show, absolutely free. Do the Amazon thing for us and help out Andrew Allen and Brian Kroc, our great producers. All you got to do is click the Amazon banner, doesn't cost you anything. Then you're done with us. It's just a small referral, and it helps us take care of those guys. Find us on our social media outlets, at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. You follow us, we're going to follow you back. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. We'd love you to like and follow our page and click invite your friends. Like to have as many people involved in the conversations. Thank you to everybody for jumping in on the post. When you guys comment and share and like our post, it helps us tremendously. When you see the show out there on Facebook, jump in the conversation. We'd love to have you guys be a part of it. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Hit us up there. You can also find us as part of lineupmedia.fm, the fastest growing podcast on the planet. Now home to Yo Radio, the newest internet radio sensation, absolutely free. Go to the App Store, download it, leave them a review. You guys will love it. They got the 80s station on there. I love it. Showing my age, of course. But they've got a station for everybody on there, and it's continuing to grow. So, again, Yo Radio, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your continued growth. Again, to our partners, thank you so much for your continued support. Adam Smokehouse, I'm Watson. Again, the reviews keep pouring in from all of our listeners. Keep sending them, guys. I know that Mike and Frank over there love to see that the listeners enjoy the barbecue as much as we do. Arlington Greens had some guys in here that had played the course just recently. Again, it's in great shape. Mark Marcuse does a tremendous job. I know the Calcutta's coming up soon. Lots of money to be had, guys. Arlington Greens, check it out. Again, I always say it's the hidden jewel here in the Metro East, located in Granite City. Great staff, great man in Mark Marcuse. Check it out. You won't be disappointed. To the Missouri Gators, thank you for your continued support. If you're looking for something different for your son or daughter when it comes to the game of baseball and as they dive into softball as well, check them out, MissouriGators.com. Again, guys, they got the four-pillar system where they're developing the athlete to be a better person as well as a better player. And, again, it means a lot to them. If you want to find out if you've got what it takes, MissouriGators.com. They've got the Illinois Gators now, Missouri Gators, and, of course, Gators Baseball Academy. All right, gents. My question. I'm gonna start right with you.
Here's the deal.
Start right with you.
If you remember a couple months ago.
It was more than a couple months ago, but go ahead. It was farther back than that, I think.
It was maybe his first, stint up here. He came up with some energy, but
sure.
He was not a difference maker in the lineup. And it could have been that he was just feeling his way out, didn't feel like he maybe belonged, maybe he was just trying to fit in. He wasn't doing what he is doing now. He is a spark plug. He is a ball of energy. We keep texting back and forth every time this guy gets on base. That speed kills. That aggressiveness kills. It changes the game. It puts pressure on the defense. It makes guys rush throws, throw them in the dirt, ball gets away, score another run. Now all of a sudden a guy can't throw a great curveball into the dirt because if it gets around him, or gets by him 6 or 8 or 10 feet, here comes Bader in a score. All right? So, yes, I think it's a fact that he feels more comfortable. I think it's a fact that he's had a little bit more sustained success, and now he feels like he belongs in the big leagues, and I love it. I love the way he's playing.
So now you flip. Now he's your guy.
I think he's shown.
Well, not that he was never your guy. I understood what you were saying at the time. You were looking for that, the more of the Tyler O'Neill stat line. You wanted, you know, three-run bomb to make a big difference in a game.
But here's what I thought. Earlier in the season, I felt like when Harrison Bader got up, that there wasn't the anticipation of greatness happening. And I felt like when Tyler O'Neill had that opportunity when he first came up, that everybody sat on the edge of the bench, edge of their seats in the stands, edge of their couch at home, and they go, okay, we might witness something great here.
Okay.
Now all of a sudden when Bader steps in the box or he goes out to patrol center field, I think everybody watches him for that great defensive play, that great throw, the great run from first to third, third to home, the good at bat, the all of a sudden he gets one in the gap and he turns it into a triple. So now all of a sudden
greatest
that
thing,
excitement
one of the greatest
is there.
Things in sports too.
Oh my God, yeah. Awesome.
Watching a guy flying to third. Josh.
It's a difference maker right
your
now.
Thoughts on Harrison Bader. Is he the guy?
Yeah, he's
Is he the guy you want in center field for the next 10 years? I mean it's hard
absolutely.
To view 10 years.
Absolutely.
But I mean, I guess what I'm asking is can you see it?
Yeah, absolutely, 110% in the way, and especially after Benji and Polo's little interview with him. I mean, he just seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders.
Got a little charisma.
He knows, and he's got the right first step out there in center field. Like, I've always thought his reaction out there was great. His aggressiveness and alertness on the bases. I mean, he looks at that center fielder when he's jogging in, looking down at the ball, and he's like, oh, I'm taking two. And stuff like that. And even like when he was struggling at the very beginning, and I wouldn't even say struggling. I mean, he just
getting acclimated to the big leagues.
There you go. Okay. Getting acclimated. Yeah, he was striking out a bunch, and he still kind of is. But, you know, he was still taking the appropriate hacks. You know, 3-1, 2-1, 2-0. Like, he was taking big league hacks on counts that you're supposed to, quote unquote. So even when Steve-O was over there saying, oh, I don't see it. I saw it, and I liked what I saw.
Oh, so you're saying you had way more foresight than Steve-O. Good call.
I get it, Josh. I get with the O'Neill thing. That's something that we don't get to see very often.
I hear you. So I'm anxious to hear Benji's thoughts on this, only because, and I don't know, I mean, obviously I hit you guys with this without telling you, but here's my thoughts on hearing from Benji on this, so I'm going to set you up, Benji. You played with Jim Edmonds. You're aware of Jim Edmonds and what he did throughout his career. You played against Ken Griffey, who I think is one of the best players of all time, much less one of the best center fielders of all time.
Was that your opinion?
You've seen – he's awful good. Okay, pal. Ken Griffey Jr., are you kidding me? You got to be an idiot.
You acted like you had an epiphany on him.
No,
like
that's my point. Okay,
like you're the only freaking guy
that
looked
point.
At Ken Griffey and said, oh, my God, this guy's a stud. We're talking Harrison Bader as a rookie compared to Ken Griffey. Come on, bro.
That was my point.
Jesus.
That's a clown question, bro. That was my point. You didn't have to be an idiot to realize how good Ken Griffey was. Benji saw him on a regular basis. He played with Edmonds. He saw this. So your thoughts – to this point on Harrison Bader.
There's nothing wrong to think that Harrison Bader can have a 10-year career, a good one. I mean, there's nothing that can tell you, but he still has to produce to play. I mean, how many times do you see a rookie of the year in the outfield or in the infield, and a couple years later, 1 year later, you don't even hear about him anymore? Because they're done. So it's really too soon to say this is your guy. I would not go that far. I mean, I love Bader. I love him. I love the way he plays. I love the way he goes at it. I mean, I really do. And I'm pushing for him to play because he's having a great time right now. He's helping us in many, 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 many other ways. Many ways. But how can we say he's going to be our guy for 10 years, man? I mean, especially in these baseball days where guys are playing out there hitting 210 and hitting 240. And I mean, he still has to produce. That's just what he's going to come down to. And remember, he haven't even played a full year yet in center field for the Cardinals. Not even close to a half a year, I don't think. He haven't even played full half a year being a regular center fielder. And here we are trying to think that if he's our guy for 10 years, he's showing flashes that he's great. He's showing flashes that he covers ground. He throws guys out at home plate. He runs the bases. He steals bases. Yes, yes. Right now he looks like one of those guys that wants to be there for 10 years. But how the heck are we going to sit here and discuss Griffin and Edmonds and whoever, you know, with Bader? Bader haven't even had one full year, guys. I mean, seriously, think about it. I don't even think he has a half a year in the big leagues playing as a regular. He's been always coming off the bench. When that guy goes out and play 1 year, full year, like they did with Sam, when that guy goes out and play 2 years, and then he keeps producing, then we go at it and we can say that. But, man, with the guy having half a year, not even half a year in the big leagues, full as a starter, I mean, it's hard for me, to say this is my guy for 10 years.
Well,
it's really hard.
I think I was really – listen, there's no doubt about it. Offensively, yes, I agree with you. I think the jury's still out on a lot of guys when it comes to that. I'm talking defensively. I mean, defense plays, whether – I mean, you know
– No. Wait. Defense plays where?
I mean, center field, I think defense plays, no?
For us, I mean, we want a center field to catch everything. Of course we do. But as soon as he goes 0-for-4 and he gets 0-for-10, I bet you anything they're gonna move the chain. Who's next? And O'Neill will be in center. And then because of what? Because of defense? I don't think so. He's gonna be out of there because he's going 0-for-15 or 1-for-15. He's not producing. I'm telling you, man, he's a great defender, but baseball these days, you have to do something with the bat. Well, actually, you don't have to do something, but it'd be nice for you to be doing something with the bat, obviously. And that's what I think. I think we haven't seen him enough where he gets to the slump and the Cardinals look at him like, okay, guys, 1-for-20 or a little bit of like 3-for-20. What are we going to do here? He's catching everything in center, but what are we going to do? He's not producing. I've been there, guys. And you've seen it. You guys have seen it before.
You know what I take away from his play over the last couple of days that I saw? And I'll do a little. There's a picture of Ozzie Smith back in like 1994. It's an 8x10 I've wanted for a couple years. I just haven't gotten it yet. He's diving into third base, and there's a cloud of dust, right? And he's just kind of hugging the bag. It's a great picture. I've always wanted it.
Like the one yesterday?
The one where Bader dives into third, and he's looking back in the dugout, and he's got this big shit-ass eating grin on his face like he's having so much fun, right? And it's fun winning. That's an 8x10 that I want signed of him, because that's the type of player that I like. And I think a lot of the St. Louis fans like that guy. That's why we love the Rex Hudlers, those guys.
I love the guy.
Yeah, awesome.
I love the guy. We're just saying, the debate is not about loving the guy, right? Because I love this guy. This guy hustles every play. He's unbelievable, guys. He really is. He can play, but he's having a good stretch. What happened to Tommy Pham? It's a different story, of course. Tommy Pham is a lot older when he did it, but still, I mean, he was having a good time and all that. And what happened? He went away. He couldn't hit anymore. He did this. He did that. So for us to say he's our guy for 10 years, it's hard to say. I want him to be our guy for 10 years, having him producing and doing what he's doing right now. Heck yeah, you want that guy in your lineup.
But
of
BMO,
course, for 10 years.
Did you really, and like I said, maybe I didn't watch everything, did you really feel that Pham played with that type of joy? And that's St. Louis fans.
No.
You know, when Tommy Pham was out there, I felt like Tommy Pham played with a chip on his shoulder, which was great from a competitive standpoint. I feel like Harrison Bader's playing like he's living a dream right now.
And it's awesome. It's awesome. I'm with you. It's awesome that he's playing like that. We need him. But what happened to Pham when he was doing great? Everybody loved him, right? Everybody, oh, this is our guy. this is our guy. He's going to hit 30 bombs. He's going to steal 30 bases. This is our guy right here. This is Tommy Pham is our guy. But then he faded away. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, see, that's where I disagree. I think the attitude of the player is what fades away quicker in a fan's mind. When a guy is playing with a chip on his shoulder, he tends to get less, you know, rope than a guy that's playing with joy. And it's just, and that's my opinion, you know, and that's something I watch. And this is a fan show, so I'm allowed to have that one, okay? But
that's
what I see it, and I think that's a lot what St. Louis fans see, is a guy that plays with a chip on his shoulder, okay? That, and he had every right to play with a chip on his shoulder. I'm not saying that, because he spent a long time trying to get to the big
and
leagues.
And it's the wrong guy to compare him to. I mean, come on, Pham is a 30-year-old. That's been hurt all his career, most of it, right?
Right.
And this guy's a young guy coming up, trying to make his way in. And I get it. I mean, I love the guy. I wish and I hope that he's our guy for 10 years. I'm not wishing him that he's not. All I'm saying is it's really, really too early for us to say he's our guy for 10 years just because he had a good stretch. But he had a bad stretch before this good stretch. I don't know if you guys remember. And even – I had conversations with coaches, and they were worried that this guy wasn't hitting how he's supposed to, and there were coaches worried about his playing, you know, how he could be a bench player only, and he could not play every day, you know. So where's that coming from, too? So what I'm trying to say here is, yes, he's electric, man. I love the guy, the energy. I love everything he brings to us. When he's playing great, of course, he brings all that. But he haven't even started half a season, I don't think. I mean, that's my guess. But he haven't started half a season being a number one guy yet. And here we are discussing a 10-year.
And comparing him to Ken Griffey Jr. I think that's what Jimbo did. He put him in the same.
What I said.
You put him in the same breath as Ken Griffey Jr.
I said I was curious to get BMO's thoughts on him defensively, because he watched Griffey for so many years. He saw Jim Edmonds. We know what Jim Edmonds did here in St. Louis. Listen, I'm talking about what he's doing defensively. In my opinion, what he's doing defensively is, I mean, he's making a play every night. That's iPod. That's the one he made. I didn't think he had a prayer at the last one.
No.
The other ones, great plays, ran him down. The one was it yesterday or the day before? It was one of the – it's been such an ignorant weekend. The last one he made coming in, I didn't think he had a chance. I think it was Saturday. I didn't think he had a prayer. I mean, I had to rewind it like 100 times, hoping – and they did. They showed another view to where you could see. I just didn't think he had a prayer.
I've seen many guys, tough prospects, being a great defenders, man. I mean, great defenders. But at one point, they couldn't do it. At one point, they couldn't hit. They couldn't produce. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. I love his defense. I mean, I love how he's playing. Seriously, I really do, and I hope he has a great career for us. But I don't know. It has to be more time, you know?
No, I know. I was curious your thoughts. A guy that plays defense like that. So what you're saying is, in essence, is he's still got to hit. He can't go out there and hit 210, 220 and play center field.
Yeah, and he won't play because of his defense, I tell you.
What is the number? What's he got to do? Is he got to hit 250 and have a 320 OBP to play?
Well, these days you don't even have to do that. These days you just have to be a prospect to play. Your label has to be, oh, this is one of my top three guys. I have to put him in the big leagues. That's all. Or throw 98 and you'll be in the big leagues. It doesn't matter what ERA you have. It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter that you have a 5-something ERA. You'll be throwing in losing games because you throw 98. So I don't know what the number is. if you ask me of, as an old school guy that went through the minor league system for 6.5 years, and if you ask me as an old school guy, I can tell you 285 gets you to the big leagues, 280 maybe, 270 is pushing it, 260, no chance, 250, no way. That's the numbers that for me will get you to the big leagues. Over 70, over 270 or something, a great player. Baseball IQ was huge back then. If you didn't have baseball IQ, like many of these young guys, you were not even playing the big leagues. I'm telling you, Bobby Cox would not have you on his team. Larry Boa would not have you on his team. If you don't have the baseball IQ, I bet you anything, Tony La Russa, he only had veteran players. Why? Because they all have the baseball IQ. He would go nuts these days with these guys that have no idea, that you have to be telling them, most of them, you have to be telling them pitch by pitch what to do. You have to tell the guy, take a 3-0 count. Or you have to tell a guy, hey, Walker had a long inning. Don't swing at a first pitch, buddy. You have to tell these guys? Come on, man. So if you ask me for old school guys, that's what it is, buddy. I mean, you can catch everything in the outfield, but you still have to produce to play baseball for 10 years is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, okay. Well, again, I was curious if you felt
but
like...
But defensively, he deserved it. Defensively, he's great. He's that good. He's good.
Yeah, my thought on the whole thing is, again, defensively, he's off the charts. He adds another element on the base paths. I think Steve-O brought that up as well. And, you know, I'm looking at him wondering, can he hit 250? Can he hit 15 homers? Can he get on base, you know, at a 320 clip, steal some base? If he can do that, I think he can play. And, you know, you just wonder if there isn't even another ceiling for him. I don't know. I mean, is he going to hit 300 and hit 30 bombs and steal 30 bases? I mean, I'm not going to put anything past
him. It's like the comparison they were doing with Pujols and Adrian Gonzalez. Remember that?
Yep.
They were saying, oh, Adrian and Pujols. Adrian's going to be a Pujols these days. Adrian's going to be. And I'm like, okay, all right, you want to put Adrian in Pujols' mouth, in the same mouth. Okay, so wait for 10 years. For 10 years. You put his best 10 years against Pujols' best 10 years, and then you can compare those 10 years. You can compare those two guys. But if you're going to say Pujols and Adrian Gonzalez are the same player when Adrian has 2 years in and Pujols already have 12, it's unfair. So it's the same here for me, right? I mean, defensively, he's great, but we got to wait a little bit for his offense production, because if he doesn't produce as an offensive player, I bet you anything, they'll find somebody to do it. And now it doesn't matter how good he is defensively. That's what these days are showing me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I love the guy. I love the guy.
Interesting stuff. Well, I can tell you that I would say this. I'd say he's our center fielder for the near future. There's no doubt about it. But, again, I was just curious. Like I said, I know you saw Griffey, and I was wondering how close you thought he was defensively to some of the great center fielders that we've had the opportunity to see over the course of, you know, I guess, you know, quite some time, really. And we've been blessed to have some great ones in St. Louis. I mean, Willie McGee, Jim Edmonds. Everybody remembers Kurt Flood. I mean, just great.
Can you really compare Bader to those guys? Really?
Oh,
can you really compare those guys?
Well, I was just asking if you could compare them, like, defensively. Like, I mean, those guys were great defenders. And
they run things down. That was great. They were great, man. And Bader is good, too. It's just those guys that you mentioned, they have some kind of special productions, man.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. I was just curious. I mean, you know, I was especially curious, too, though, to wonder what Steve-O's thoughts were as, you know, if he had done enough now to jump him into a category of a difference maker.
Right now he is. I like it.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see him play again.
Yeah, no, I look forward to seeing him play every night. Well, good stuff, fellas. Great talk today. I enjoyed it, and again, we'll see what happens. I'm going to go with, after Josh reminding us that there's an off day Thursday, I think it'll be Wednesday. Let me put it this way. It could be today, you know, after travel and all that kind of stuff. Who knows? But, yeah, I was curious your thoughts on it because I don't know. You know, it's like I told somebody last night. Somebody said, well, I don't see the same jump. I don't see the same bounce in Yachty's step. And I said, I'm sure if you asked him, I mean, who has bounce in their step when they're 0-4? I mean, nobody.
No, and not only that, but in his 27th freaking straight game.
Right.
Find me a guy that has a step on that.
So yeah, I mean, interesting stuff. I mean, I know where fans are coming from. They're basically defending their guy. They want him to be rested. They want him to be ready to go. It's hard, man, when you're chasing somebody down. Like I said, it'd be completely different if you weren't chasing somebody down. But that's where we're at, you know.
One day off is not going to get you 100% back. 100%. It helps. Remember, it helps, but it's not going to get you 100%. I mean, the position players are different. They don't have to squat down and all that you want, but there's not going to get you 100%. It might help you, yes. It might help you be better. Yeah, that's the only thing I can put it, but it's not going to get you back to 100%. That's it.
Great stuff, fellas. Enjoyed the show today. Want to thank everybody for joining us. Of course, M4 by Yachty for bringing us Benji each and every week and all the stuff that they provide us, the great stuff that we do. New contest coming soon, guys, as we make this stretch run. Find us at twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. Do your shopping at Amazon. At Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Twitter. You like us. You follow us. We're going to follow you back. Hit us up on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat, of course, if you like our page. You can jump in on some of the great conversations that we have with all the great Cardinal fans. Birds on a Bat, the Facebook group that goes along with some of the other great Facebook groups we're proud to be associated with. RallySquirrel.com, Nate McHenry, our friend and yours, proud to be part of the Rally Squirrel Club. That show comes out on Mondays. We're always excited to do that. Again, special thanks to Mick Light and everything he does for us at Arch City Media. You know, when he shares our show, it's amazing how many people tend to also find us. We appreciate it. Chris Lawless with Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, thank you. Again, some of the great Cardinal groups out there. Had some great interaction this week. St. Louis Cardinals Nation, Cardinal Freak, always sharing our stuff. Fans of Yachty or Molina, what a great Facebook page. That one, the interaction is great on that one. Again, I would expect so. STL Cardinals is another good one. St. Louis Cardinals Crew. Just some great Cardinals haters versus Cardinal fans. I try to think of a new one each and every week, but there's great Facebook groups out there if you want to be a part of those conversations. Again, special thanks to all of our supporters, InnovativeCompanies.com, Randy and Stephanie Green. We thank you for your continued support. Anything you need when it comes to construction, plumbing, heating and cooling, or electric, Randy Green's your man. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. Get down to Arlington Greens, check out the golf course, check out my man Mark Marcuso and see if he can help you with a future tournament. He does a great job. Nobody does it better. Adam Smokehouse, get down there and get your barbecue. You guys are going to want to try it. For all of our friends that come in town for Cardinal games, they don't miss it. They always tweet at us when they're down there, and we appreciate it. And again, Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road, you won't be disappointed. Missouri Gator Baseball, MissouriGators.com. Find out if you got what it takes. Illinois Gators, Missouri Gators, and now the high school program, the Gators Baseball Academy. Love their four-pillar system. Love what they're doing. You guys heard from Seth Van Baron. Assisting and changing the way they look at the way a player is recruited, finding the best fit for the player, developing the baseball player into becoming a good adult. Big part of why they're having a lot of success over at Missouri Gator Baseball.
Hey, and Josh is going to be part of that too, man.
Yeah, oh, congratulations, yeah. Josh. We hear Thank you're you. Going to be coaching for the Missouri Gator program. They're getting a good man. I know you played a lot of baseball in your day, and you're still young enough that you can get out there and run around with those youngsters and
we'll see
and not
that.
Injure yourself too bad. Again, everybody that supports the show, thank you. We look forward to bringing you the show each and every week. Heading out to L.A., West Coast Swing, fellas. Remember, this used to be a dreaded trip. Time change, long flight.
Jimbo, I got a lot of tickets here for the – August 30th. So I'm going to leave it to you in our, well, I'll tell you after the show.
All right, beautiful. That sounds like a good time. Maybe we'll do some stuff here, get some listeners involved. Maybe we'll have some tickets, so stay tuned for a contest. Check out our social media sites. I leave you guys. Let's go, Birds.
Go, Birds.
Go, Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.